The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we welcome back a very special guest, New York State Assembly Member Sarahana Shrestha, to get an update on key climate and environmental policy and legislation in the upcoming New York State legislative session. Sarahana Shrestha represents the 103rd Assembly District that covers most of Ulster County and parts of Northern Dutchess. So Assemblymember Shrestha, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. It's always nice to be back on the show.
Yeah, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much for being here. So may I call you Sarahana? Is that okay?
Yes, definitely. Okay. That's what most people call me, so.
Okay, I'll just call you Assemblymember Sarahana. Last time you were a guest on Healthy Ulster Radio, you and Senator Michelle Hinchey had just introduced the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act. Can you review what that is all about and what it means for customers, for our environment and climate, and where it stands now?
Absolutely. So we introduced the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act, which creates a new utility called the Hudson Valley Power Authority to replace Central Hudson. And this new authority would be a state public benefit corporation, which is basically a state authority that is designed to run like a corporation, but without the profit motive, and of course, without shareholders. And the goal of this new authority would be to be in the service of ratepayers, which means providing low rates, reliable service, easy to understand bills, which we've been taking for granted, clean energy, community benefits, labor protections, and environmental justice. Now, the workers who work at Central Hudson would remain. So that's not changing. Those workers are staying. The union is staying. What's changing is basically the goals, the ownership, and the way it's governed. So right now, Central Hudson is owned by Fortis, which is a holding company. It's mostly a financial company. You know, they're not necessarily even utility experts. And what's happened now is because of over-financialization of many things, especially public goods, all these big holding companies own utilities all over the state. So Fortis owns many utilities. So Central Hudson is only one of its assets. And what a lot of people don't know is that Central Hudson is not necessarily acting special or alone in being quote unquote greedy. The fact is our utility laws allow investor-owned utilities to pass the cost of doing business as well as the profit margin to the rate payers. So our laws allow this. And I'm going to get into a little bit of why this even happened in the first place. But what happens is rate payers are on the hook for all of the costs and the profit margin, but without any equity, without any ownership, right? So we want to change that. We want to remove a private ownership by a for-profit entity. So back in the day when electricity became available for mass consumption, and this is really, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a big debate for who should own energy. It was obvious enough to people that there was a conflict between energy being for public use and profiteers wanting to make profit, that this debate happened. And it was not a small debate. It really shaped what happened in the energy sector back then, which is why, you know, we had people like FDR creating the New York Power Authority to protect the hydro energy from profiteers and so on. But ultimately what happened was the push for public ownership of energy was gaining a lot of momentum. And one business magnate from the utility sector came up with this idea that we should let the state regulate us. And in return, we will be allowed to stay for profit and stay private. You know, this was supposed to be a win-win. And in the beginning, he didn't convince all his colleagues, but ultimately, as public power became a more popular demand, they went with this compromise. And fast forward almost a century, we see that this compromise has completely failed ratepayers, especially when there's a need to transition into clean energy. So people have always revisited this idea of public ownership, but now it's become more pressing because of high cost, because of the climate crisis. I just saw in the news today that California lawmakers are considering taking over their utility, and more than two-thirds of California's residents support this idea. So we are leading this fight here in the Hudson Valley with this bill.
So if I understand you correctly, in a for-profit utility, the owners get all of the benefits of any profits and what have you, but the costs and the risks get transferred to ratepayers. Is that correct? I mean, I thought in a free marketplace,
absolutely,
aren't investors supposed to take risk and then get reward?
Absolutely. So that is the raw deal for ratepayers. So one thing I want to get into is this idea of natural monopoly, if there's time. And that explains, you know, why that is the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And what about the climate and environmental benefits associated with this, if it were to go to a public power authority?
Right. So one of the benefit of being a public entity to do very expensive work of delivering energy is, one is that you can take risks up front. You don't have the pressure to make quarterly earnings for your shareholders, right? You can do projects that are a mix of maybe some are profitable, but maybe some are risky, but you can do a mixed portfolio based on needs. Private sector cannot really do that. The other benefit as a public entity is your cost of doing business is just lower, which means you can take more risks. So public entities have access to lower interest rates when they finance their debt. They can issue bonds that are state issued, that are tax exempt, which results in a lot of cost savings. And now we have the Inflation Reduction Act, which also has benefits for public entities to do, you know, work in the climate transition. So those are the two main benefits why a public entity would be able to work swiftly and effectively at a climate transition compared to the private sector, which also needs to depend on passing these high costs to the ratepayers, which then becomes a huge roadblock because, you know, that's not really a sustainable path forward.
Mm-hmm. And when you were on the program last, you mentioned that there was a law in New York State that was just passed that you would were instrumental in passing. New York State Public Power Authority would be required to build renewable infrastructure. Is that a component of this, or is it is there tangential to this?
Exactly. So in New York State, we have the supply sector of energy, which is separate from the delivery sector, and they are not allowed to do both. So if you do supply, you can't do delivery. If you do delivery, you can't do supply. So we have to tackle both sides of the energy problem. And the bill that you mentioned, which is the Build Public Renewables Act, was written and passed and enacted to tackle the supply side. Now, what has happened is, you know, we passed our climate goals in 2019. Since then, we were really slow in coming up with a plan of how to actually create the energy to meet those goals. For example, by 2030, 70% of our electricity load is supposed to come from renewable sources. And we run into the same problem in the supply sector, which is the private sector is just not delivering the results. And right now, because of, you know, supply chain issues, high interest rates, all those familiar problems, private projects have been canceling their projects at a high rate. So new reports have come out from the PSC, from NYSERDA, from the controller saying we are really behind on our climate goals. There's a huge gap. And the business sector is using that as an opportunity to lobby against the climate goals to begin with. They want the goals to be rolled back, to be painted as unrealistic. And we see that the governor has wavered. You know, she has told the press at least once, maybe the goals were too ambitious. You know, it was during the pandemic. We didn't know what we were walking into, et cetera. But one option that the governor and NYPA really haven't acted with urgency on is enacting the Build Public Renewables Act. You know, we see the potential of this bill as being able to address the ambitious goals with ambitious action. And that's not how the governor has been treating it. She's been more focused on the private sector. So right now we are demanding, and, you know, we are in conversation with NYPA. We're in conversation with the governor's office, but we are demanding that NYPA build at least 15 gigawatts of publicly owned renewables by 2030 so that we can be on track to meet our goals. We can fund bill discounts. We can save ratepayers money because this is not funded with the bucket of money that is pooled from, again, ratepayer money. We would get federal money through the Inflation Reduction Act. We would create green union jobs, and we would be able to phase out toxic peaker plants that we have in our state. So this is a concrete demand we are making at this time.
Yeah, it seems like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? So they underbuild renewable capacity, and then they say that it's not really working and it's not really efficient, and therefore we need to oppose it even more. That's pretty strange.
Yes.
We'll talk about that more. But first, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs. Life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
Yes! I finally got my first phone!
It is exciting. Let's learn a few things about online safety first.
We can secure our world. When you choose your passwords, make them strong. Use a password manager to help you along. But don't just use a password alone. Get a call, get a text, or a code on your phone.
MFA really works.
We can secure our world. You hesitate, do it ASAP.
Just like that.
Watch out for offers too good to be true.
What?
It's probably someone trying to take advantage of you.
Hey, that's fishy.
Let's report it.
Install updates, make better passwords. Woo! Think before you click, use multiple factors. That's how we can secure our world.
Learn more at cisa.gov/secure-our-world.
The Asian long-horned beetle is an invasive insect, a black and white tree-eating menace. It's here in our area, eating holes in our trees. Perfectly round holes, no larger than a dime, in trees across our region. The Asian long-horned beetle is destroying our trees. It burrows inside, where it literally eats our trees where they stand. Then it chews its way out, making perfectly round holes. Lots of these beetles mean lots of holes. Holes that could take away lots of our trees. Look for holes in your trees. By keeping an eye out, we can put an end to the Asian longhorned beetle and help keep our trees safe. Report the Asian longhorned beetle. Don't let it put a hole in our tree population. Report the Asian longhorned beetle. Go online at asianlonghornedbeetle.com.
Every moment counts if you're at risk or living with lung cancer. And anyone with lungs can get lung cancer. It causes more cancer deaths than breast, colon, and prostate combined. It can feel like a race against time. And while there may be moments where you question your next step, it's essential to know that you don't have to confront lung cancer alone. Through it all, GoTo for Lung Cancer is here for you. From screening, treatment, and survivorship support, to finding the right care close to home, we are your community. As your friends, your guides, your teachers, your advocates, and your support system, GO2 is your go-to. Confronting lung cancer starts here. Visit GO2.org today.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guest today is Assemblymember Sarahana Shrestha, who represents the 103rd Assembly District in Ulster County and parts of Northern Dutchess. Assemblymember Shrestha, before the break, we were talking about the requirements for the Hudson Valley Public Power Authority to transform Central Hudson into a public power authority. And then we were talking about New York State's goals with respect to renewables and clean energy and how that was falling short, and there was some backtracking going on. I understand that you're doing a couple of community events on this very subject. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So, you know, the way we pass these big bills, because lots of people ask me this, you know, how, you know, can you really pass this? How did you pass this? The short answer is we really need people to be involved and people to be invested in building that pressure and creating the conditions for passing these things. So that's how we passed the Bill Public Renewables Act. So we are doing two town halls in our district. The first one is September 17th at 6:30 p.m. at SUNY New Paltz. The second one is September 18th, also at 6:30 p.m. at Bard College. And we really want to dig into the status of the climate goals, why we've been stuck, and what we need to do to get back on track and, you know, have the governor and NYPA respond to our demands. We also have a petition flowing around, so we'll share that as well. And we want to make sure, once again, that people can make the impact in the direction that the state will go in terms of meeting these goals.
Yeah, these bills, I'm sure, as you mentioned in our earlier program, building support for these bills often starts way ahead of time in building the coalitions and the vested interests. But we, the public, are perhaps the most important stakeholders. So we need to get involved. So, Sarahana, in our previous show, we also mentioned the Climate Change Superfund Act, which was just coming about, and it would require, I believe, public utilities to fossil fuel companies to contribute up to $75 million over 25 years to pay for the damages caused by fossil fuel, by burning fossil fuels. And it was modeled after the Federal Superfund legislation, rather. Can you elaborate on that? Tell us more about that and why it matters so much and how it can make a difference.
Yes. So we passed this bill in the Assembly in really the wee hours of, the last night of the session. I think it was around 2 a.m., if I remember correctly. But what this does is it actually generates $75 billion. So it's a lot of money from retroactive tax on big polluters who have already polluted, and their share of the tax is, you know, calculated based on how much they polluted, but cumulatively they would pay $3 billion a year over 25 years. And this is very important because the estimated cost of climate resiliency in the state is $200 billion. And so, you know, you can imagine $75 billion makes quite a dent in that expense that we are expected to incur. And the status of this bill is both houses have passed it, and the governor needs to sign it. So if you have a chance to, you know, signal to the governor that this bill should be signed, that's another thing you can do, because once the bills are passed, the industry still continues to lobby to make sure that they are watered down or that they are vetoed. And the other thing I want to say about this particular bill is the way it's written, the taxes cannot be transferred to cost for the consumers, because the companies have different shares, and if they try to pass the cost, they wouldn't be able to compete in the market. So that guardrail also exists in the way this bill is structured.
And that's really terrific. I read a statistic that said that ExxonMobil alone, this $3 billion is cumulative. I mean, it's a collective contribution by all big oil companies, but ExxonMobil alone, $3 billion is just 10% of their profits from last year. So if you add up all the big oil companies, it's a small fraction. And when you consider all the damage that is done, which is passed on to the taxpayers, but also passed on to consumers in our, by way of higher insurance premiums. And that doesn't even count, the lost lives, increased health care costs, all of that. So it just seems like it's a matter of like the damage is being done, but the only question is really who pays, so.
Yeah. And to your point, so this tax applies to companies that emitted over 1 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide between 2000 and 2018. So, and it's about 30 to 40 companies, including ExxonMobil. And their largest 8 of these companies collectively earned a profit of $389 billion just in 2022. So, $3 billion is actually 0.77% of this collective profit just amongst the 8 big polluters.
Yeah, it seems fair. It really does seem fair. And, the federal Superfund legislation that was signed several decades ago really required the chemical companies to do something similar, to put money into a pool that would pay for cleanups like Love Canal, like the High Falls, contamination of the aquifer in High Falls and so on. So it definitely makes sense. So, Sarah Hanna, are there any other pieces of legislation or initiatives that you are really excited about that you've been working on with you and your colleagues that you'd like to talk about?
Sure. One bill that I introduced right now we're working on is to create a pilot program to cap prescription drug prices for the top 5 most expensive drugs using Canadian price as a reference. As you mentioned, there's a huge connection between climate and health and affordability and economic justice and so on. But we really do see, as the opportunities for people to get sick increases, our healthcare sector is in a lot of trouble. The way we fund our hospitals through, Medicaid reimbursement and all of that. So we have some short and middle term goals, such as this pilot program, to create examples of what we can do in terms of reform for drug prices. But we are also still pushing for universal healthcare, which also includes long-term care. And this is the New York Health Act. We did just pass banning all copays on insulin for state-regulated plans. So that's a good start. Insulin is another example, like electricity, that was never meant for profit, but that it became one of the most price-gouged drugs. So in a way, we are trying to correct a lot of the over profiteering and over privatization that has happened of our public goods. And we also see that in the home care sector. We see that in the healthcare sector as well.
It's amazing when it's proposed to allow the federal entities and state entities to bargain for drug prices, right? So the pharmaceutical companies are like, well, we're all about free market, except when it comes to us, you can't compete, you can't do that. But, and they say, well, the costs of research and development are so high, the part they leave out is all of the tax deductions that they take for the research and development that we, the taxpayers, again, pay for. So it's like kind of a similar, similar theme going through this show of companies, taking
That's
the
right.
profit, but passing on the risk, So, Sarah Hanna, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and it's really great that you are out there fighting for us in our community, and you know, to slow climate change, to keep us all healthy and safe, keep our communities vibrant and strong. We really do appreciate your efforts, and we really look forward to having you back in the ongoing battles for health and climate. And we really appreciate your work. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.